When a dim sum cart packed with delicious, fragrant goodies rolls past your table, it's hard to resist the sweet, salty crunch of char siu pork or the juicy flavor explosions of a steamed dumpling. But these classics are only a sliver of what the world of dim sum has to offer. So the next time you're brunching with friends, bring along the Dim Sum Field Guide, which is profiles and illustrations of more than 70 dim sum delicacies, from buns to beignets, chicken feet to crab claws. Soon, you'll be ordering and eating like a pro. That's from the Dim Sum Field Guide. Surprise, surprise. There are many field guides out there to all sorts of things that we encounter or that we seek out in our daily lives. Field guides to leaves, to insects, to birds, to buildings. But this is the first field guide I've seen that invites us to take it along to a dim sum dining experience. In many ways, the Dim Sum Field Guide is a typical field guide. It's small enough to tuck into a large pocket or into a purse or a backpack. And it's easily navigated on the fly for quick reference to whatever may come into view at the moment. Also, because it's actually a book, it's easy to page through. And the coverage of dim sum treats is huge for such a small book. Over 70 different dim sum topics or varieties or items are in here. And granted, it's published by 10 Speed Press, no stranger to the world of publishing wry books on topics that are just this side of off the wall and attention getting. Well, the 140 plus pages devoted to just the treats we encounter on that dim sum cart in your favorite Chinese restaurant that you choose to eat, or maybe you choose to, I don't know if I want that or not, run from wrapped treats to baked, pan and deep fried, and of course, chilled treats, cakes, and tarts. Granted, what's not to like from this book? You're not going to like everything, I suspect. Perhaps you're not a big fan of lo mein, or perhaps you're not into braised cuttlefish or cold tossed jellyfish, but I bet there's something in here that you'll find exciting. You'll find fun to eat. Maybe the radish puffs, maybe the black bean spare ribs, or hey, maybe the char siu buns. It's all in here, along with many, many more. As we would expect from a reputable field guide, the descriptions follow a template that varies little from item to item. To wit, each is likely to note the dim sum item's genus, its nesting habits, its origins, and its species, along with an initial full-page black-and-white illustration, including cutaways of the food item that help identify the contents better for us. And, of course, there's a short text description. But make no mistake, the seemingly fanciful use of traditional field guide terms like genus, nesting habits, origins, etc., is not without its usefulness to the reader. Indeed, it's difficult not to be tempted to try one of these listings, given the delicious-sounding descriptions provided. For instance, how can you not be interested in trying this dim sum item from that cart as it's rolling by? Here is the description that is provided to us. Whole chicken feet with the nails removed and a small bit above the ankle attached make this, at least to the uninitiated, one of the strangest looking of all dim sum dishes. Admittedly, there is zero meat to be had here. However, these feet are a mainstay in tea houses for the simple reason that they taste absolutely delicious thanks to the flavorful sauce that seeps into every cranny, and the meatless bits offer wonderful texture for the teeth, tongue, and lips to play with. Beneath the fluffy skin is a layer of slightly sticky tendons. That is the description given to black bean chicken feet. It has a default saucer dip. It has a nesting habit, which is described as a pile of 5 to 7 feet arranged neatly on rimmed plate, sometimes found in Chinese delis. And, of course, the origins. All parts of the animal are treated with respect in Chinese kitchens, and this has been true since the country's earliest records of who ate what and wear. Nothing is, therefore, ever wasted, but rather cooked in ways that highlights its innate textures and flavors. Chicken feet are no exception. Enjoyment of their distinctive pleasures probably traveled from North China, but this particular way with avian toes is unmistakably a Cantonese delight. Yet the field guide to dim sum is different from other field guides, too. Those illustrations I spoke of are presented to us in black at I spoke of are presented to us as black and white drawings. And granted, every chef is going to make some of these dishes differently, so there is probably no generic fried rice or braised duck chins, and having them as black and white illustrations, drawn illustrations, makes as much sense as having some generic photo of the same item. The opening chapter introduces us to the customs of dim sum. For those of us who have yet to experience the wonders of the dim sum cart, or who are perhaps a bit rusty with our etiquette, along the way, we're given tips on how and who should pay for the check, and how to choose the best tea flavor for the meal at hand. Let's read just a little bit from that. Fun and exciting as that paying the bill section is, let's read a little bit from the tea section, because after all, you're going to find dim sum in a Chinese restaurant and most likely a Chinese tea house, and tea is going to be an important part of what you get, as our author tells us. Whatever tea you decide upon, the pot that is set down upon your table will most likely be filled with loose leaves and boiling hot water. Let the tea steep for at least 5 minutes to allow the flavors and aromas to develop. To check, open up the lid and see whether most of the leaves have settled to the bottom, which means they have opened up. Then, pour a small amount into your cup and make sure that the color and aroma are correct. At that point, fill up everyone else's cup before your own. If you have a lazy Susan on your table, wheel it around so that a cup appears before each diner. When everyone has a cup, lift up yours as the host and say, "Lai, lai, lai, come, come, come," which is a signal that you should all toast each other as a sign of welcome. Fill up the teacups as they become half empty, and thank anyone who tops off your cup. As the pot becomes empty, set the lid at an angle on the big pot, or turn it upside down on the pot if it doesn't want to cooperate, and the waitstaff should automatically refill it with hot water. If you are enjoying a long, relaxed meal, you may find that the flavor of the tea leaves will peter out before you are done. In that case, ask your waiter to give you a fresh pot. You can even ask for a different type of tea at this point to spice things up. In that case, ask for new teacups, too. The etiquette of dim sum, evidently, is important to know, as well as the foods that we're eating. A little bit about our author, Carolyn Phillips. She is no stranger to the world of dim sum. As another reviewer wrote after talking with her about the other of her two recent books, which I also recommend to your attention, All Under Heaven, Recipes from the 35 Cuisines of China, it took her 10 years to research, write, and illustrate. It's magnificent. A reference on the 8 traditional Chinese cuisines with 300 recipes. If you look up overachiever in the dictionary, you'll find a photo of Carolyn Phillips. A woman of voracious intellect, determination, and cheeky humor, she did a deep dive into Chinese culture early in adult life. She has mastered Mandarin fluently. She can read and write it. Further, she lived in Taipei, married a fellow intellectual from Beijing, and cooked her way through 35 regional cuisines, researching them in Chinese. If this work ethic is not enough to impress you, she is also a beautiful illustrator. All of that shows up in the dim sum field guide as well. The knowledge that pours out of these pages into our minds and the illustrations that tempt us to eat any number of these fine delicacies, I think will be reason enough to pick it up and give it a whirl. So, given our author's familiarity with Chinese cuisines and culture, it's no surprise and a welcome find to discover the early pages telling us a bit about the origins of dim sum through the ages. The book wraps up with an in-depth index, which for a field guide is a very important thing to have. The key user-friendly guidepost for us field guide users. And to wrap up our review, let's give our author, the well-researched Carolyn Phillips, the last word as she tells us this about all the work and the joy that went into this book. In only a few short years, she writes, Lucky Peach has turned into the most amazing biosphere for food writers and artists to blossom. I was therefore incredibly fortunate to have the first incarnation of this book, titled The Beginner's Field Guide to Dim Sum, appear in the pages of its fifth issue. My endless thanks go out to Editor-in-Chief Chris Ying for taking this project under his generous wing, as well as to everyone else connected with Lucky Peach, particularly David Chang, Peter Meehan, Rachel Kong, and Walter Green. To the countless dim sum restaurants here and in the Far East who have educated my palate, my humble appreciation for a delicious education. And finally, as always, my thanks to my husband for being my constant companion at the dining table and in life. It's a wonderful book. It's a field guide. It's kind of a cultural look at what it's like to live and eat in China, even if we're only doing so in a Chinese restaurant. And it's, as all those other reviewers and writers have said, a delightful look at dim sum, something to take along the next time you're venturing into a Chinese restaurant to enjoy that late morning, early afternoon experience we call dim sum. The Dim Sum Field Guide by Carolyn Phillips is available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.